Agriculture is vital for sustainability, but many farmers face pressures balancing food production, profit, and emissions reduction. The study, Tailoring Australian Carbon Farming, explored practical, environmentally friendly methods to ease economic stress, finding blanket climate policies often harm rather than help. Over 5 years, researchers worked with farmers to co-design solutions boosting productivity, profitability, biodiversity, and greenhouse gases. The Wire's Sam Giorgio spoke with researcher and climate resilience leader from the University of Tasmania for more.
There has been a lot of other studies on carbon farming, on practices, how farms can reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The novelty of this work was that we not only looked at that, but we also quantified cost, we looked at the impacts on biodiversity, and we looked at the impacts on productivity, specifically beef and sheep production. And that's because farmers have to navigate these tensions and trade-offs all the time. So if you change one practice, you have trade-offs and co-benefits in the other dimensions. So really we want to change a practice to reduce greenhouse gas emissions while also improving profit, because a farm is a business, to improve biodiversity habitat, because biodiversity habitat is finite and most of that occurs on land, really to maintain or improve productivity. And the reason for that is because farms and agriculture in general was invented for food security.
How does climate policy affect farmers who struggle to make a profit when adhering to them?
What we found was that effectively at current carbon prices, which is spot price of about $38 per tonne, many of the carbon farming practices, and we looked at about 50 of them, were not profitable unless you get productivity co-benefits. So if you can change your practice and your productivity goes up, then it often was financially attractive. So when I say a productivity co-benefit, if you plant trees to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and it's a shelter belt and you reduce land mortality because of a cold coastline in Tasmania and it reduces wind chill of the lambs and more lambs survive, less of them die, and you have more lambs on the ground, that's a productivity benefit. Similarly, in Central Australia, if you plant trees or you have some sort of vegetation that sequesters carbon, so that reduces emissions, and that reduces cattle heat stress because they get underneath it in the middle of the day and you have more livestock survive, again, you've got a productivity co-benefit. So in all of those cases, when you can improve your productivity with an intervention designed to reduce emissions, that was financially attractive.
In this study, stacking complementary innovations would yield better results than isolated changes. Were there any other practices that this included?
Stacking complementary practices is a big one. Where you have multiple mitigation practices, multiple carbon farming practices, are aimed at a different avenue. For example, planting trees, good for sequestering carbon and can improve biodiversity, but does nothing for methane emissions. If you combine that with anogenic pastures, which some forage types actually reduce methane and enteric methane, such as lucerne and bird's foot trefoil and eremophila, shrubs and legumes actually have an anti-methanogenic effect. If you combine those two, you sequester carbon, improve biodiversity from the trees, and you can reduce enteric methane, which is the methane burped out by livestock, which is the biggest form of farm emissions.
That was Sam Giorgio with the story.